Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, September 21st, 2014. Pastor Paul Talbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
To remind you of a couple of things of who the true God is. Again, from last week, the Lord knows that we forget things. That's why I wrote everything down. Here we see Peter, who had just been told to come to Jesus walking on the water. Well, Jesus is walking on the water. Well, hello. So he does. And then what happens? Just for a moment, he's distracted from the Lord and he starts to be afraid of the storm. And he starts to sink, and Jesus is right there. He picks him right up. Remember this woman? Of course we remember this woman. She is someone living in a land where there is no free gospel. She has a daughter, and a demon right out of hell came and possessed the body of her daughter and was tormenting her daughter. Doctors cannot cure demon possession. Only God can. So she ran to Jesus, and she begged him. And remember that? We saw Jesus kind of gave her the brush off. At least that's what it looks like until you know what he says when he says it's not right to give the bread to the kids. Can't do that. And she does not argue. She says, "You're right, Lord. But you know, even those little puppies, they eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Ah, and he was just amazed at that faith. Well, now, last week we reminded ourselves that Jesus is the great one foundation of the whole church on earth. Peter saw that, and he proclaimed it, and he was patted on the back, lifted up. This is a wonderful thing that Peter said. Are you paying attention? And we heard the good news that God has revealed that to all of us here. So the same Father who was at work in Peter's life was at work in our life. Excuse me, there we are. This is what we're looking at now. Looking at Jeremiah. He's sometimes called the weeping prophet. I don't quite know where to put Jeremiah. He was the guy who was called to be on deck. The Lord said, "Before you came to be, I knew you. I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Jeremiah 1, verse 5. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Also in Jeremiah. So the Lord told Jeremiah, "I know all about you. In fact, I knew about you and had a plan for you in mind before I started to knit you together in your mommy." What an awesome thing. Well, that's the Creator. What about this complainer thing? How could he possibly complain? Listen again to it. He says, "You know, Lord, remember me and take note of me. Avenge me against my persecutors. In your patience, don't take me away. Know that I suffered disgrace for your honor. Your words are found. I ate them. Your words became a delight to me, the joy of my heart. I am called by your name, the Lord God of hosts. I never sat with a band of revelers. I didn't celebrate with them. Because your hand was on me, I sat alone. You filled me with indignation. Why has my pain become unending, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? You've truly become like a mirage to me, water that is not reliable." If you're in kindergarten, these words probably don't make sense to you. If you are any bit of long in life, you know what he's talking about. You're a believer, like Jeremiah. And all of a sudden, your world is turned upside down because there are people who are attacking you. And they're not just hitting you and harming you physically. They're attacking your character. They're trying to bring you down. They're trying to get you to actually doubt the love and kindness of God, His plan for you. And they enjoy hurting. And they hurt with words. And anyone who's ever been bullied knows that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, yes, they do hurt, don't they? And Jeremiah knew that. He was all alone. In fact, the Lord tells us that when he called him, you know what Jeremiah's call was? Jeremiah's call was, God says, you're going to preach to people my words, and they're not going to listen. Run that by me again, Lord. You're going to preach to people, and they're not going to listen. Can you imagine that? That's your job description. Why does he have to preach to people who are not going to listen? Because among all this group of people, there were still a handful of believers that had to hear the good news that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was on the way, and no matter how bad it got, the Lord would keep his promise. The Messiah would come. He would live and die and remove all sins and then rise from the dead. So that's what Jeremiah did. He started off his ministry doing that. And then after a while, it kind of got hard. Why? Because people are sinners. They don't like God, what God is doing, and so what do? They attack God's spokesman. I always thought it was kind of strange. I'll go up to somebody that I've never known, and I'll be talking with them, and as I'm talking with them, they're listening, and we're having a wonderful conversation, and then I say, oh, I'm Pastor Tallberg, I'm pastor, and they say, oh, well. And all of a sudden, all sorts of anger gets unleashed on me. The reason that is going on is because I'm connected to God, and everybody knows you can't shake your fist at God and get away with it. So what do? They attack the messenger. It took me a long time to figure that out. But the attacks are there, aren't they? When you live a God-pleasing life, what happens? You're made fun of. My goodness, if you stand up for the truth in school, your peers rip you apart. Your instructor will dock you a grade level. You may not be able to pursue an area of studies that you want to go in because of what you say in class that honors the Lord. My goodness. How in the world are we possibly supposed to live? How can we possibly go from point A to point B, honoring God in this wicked world? And that's the point where Jeremiah was. He said, God, I don't get this. You're just like a dream. They keep on saying you don't exist. They keep on saying you're a mirage. You're just like water that's not there. And I find it most instructing what God says. He doesn't tell Jeremiah all the blessings that he is receiving. Listen to how he starts off. He says, therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you return to me, I will restore you. You will stand in my presence. If you speak noble words rather than worthless ones, you'll be my spokesman. See what he says? In one short little area, he says, you know, Jeremiah, you got this all wrong. Stop it. Turn around and come back to me. I don't want you attacking me. My plan is to make you like a fortified city, like a big castle, so that when they throw their stuff at you, it'll bounce off and rush and crush them. You need to be with me, and you need to remember something. And then he gives Jeremiah a promise that Jeremiah didn't ask for. He says, I am with you to save you and deliver you. And then he repeats it. This is the Lord's declaration. I will deliver you from the power of evil people and redeem you from the control of the ruthless. With those words, Jeremiah was crushed. He realized that he had just been pity little old me, thinking about his own little life, completely forgetting God's plan to rescue all of humanity by taking all of the sins of all people and placing them on his son and crushing his son in our place and then raising his son back to life again so that you and I will hear those words at Easter, your sins are forgiven. But even though Jeremiah forgot in his moment of worry and pain and fear, God didn't forget. How do I know Jeremiah repented? Because he went back and started doing what God had called him to do. You're going to run into difficult things in this life. Boy, in our society, if you stand up for marriage, you are attacked as a hater. If you stand up for life, you're attacked as someone who is against women. If you stand up for keeping your word, you're attacked for as someone who's closed-minded and not open to compromise. Pray for the youth in our congregation and other congregations because they are growing up in a society that was unlike my society when I was growing up. Their faith is attacked almost daily. As an adult, you know how to handle that, but wow, what happens when someone says, oh, you idiot, and that person saying it is your instructor, and your grade is on the line? So what do we do? The Lord says, don't be afraid. Look beyond where you are and look at me. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I do not change. Your sins have been removed by my son. He came back to life again. He is not just a good idea. He is a living God in the flesh. You're drowning in trouble? Guess what? My lifeguard walks on water. Do not be afraid. God says, I will deliver you. So in Jesus' name, let's do that, shall we? This week, let's go up to God and say, you know, Lord, this is what I see, and it's going to sound like a complaint because I feel like I'm being squished. And I apologize to you right off the bat because I know it doesn't sound right coming out of my lips. I have so many blessings from you, but that's what I feel like, Lord. And the Lord listens. And then we need to listen to what he says. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will deliver you. In Jesus' name, amen.